Okay, here we are. Technorama casting calls, readings for Chuck Tomasi's replacement. All right, let's see. First up, we have Al Pacino. All right. Thank you, Al, for coming in today. I certainly appreciate it.
Yeah. Don't mention it.
Okay, if you will, just read that first page there.
Okay, let's see. On this day in tech history in 1912, hooah!
Al, do you think we can tone it down just a little bit?
Tone it down? Tone it down? I'm just getting into character.
Okay, thank you, Al, and next. Hello, Mr. Shatner. Thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
Okay, if you can just take it from the top, please.
Technorama for July 16th, 2006. We are traveling in uncharted space, probably part of the...
Thank you, Mr. Shatner. I think that will be all.
Oh, so you liked it.
We'll be in touch with your agent. Thanks. Next!
On this day in tech history, I reckon.
Next!
Hello and welcome to Technorama for July 16th.
Next!
Hello there, boys and girls! It's Technorama time!
Next!
Welcome to Technorama.
Next!
I would like to read for Chuck Tomasi's part. Yeah.
Whoa, next!
Good news!
Next!
It's Technorama 9671016!
Next!
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow!
Next!
Name's Jenkins.
Dude, what are you doing? Are you casting my replacement?
Hey, look at the time. Gotta go.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where's the Technorama?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
And here we are! Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is show number 125 for July 17, 2006. We use only the finest halogen light bulbs to indicate the porch light's on, but nobody's home. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man in charge of the porch light, Craig Stapp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good, but I'm a little pod burnt.
We'll get into that in a little bit. Coming up in tonight's show, we've got Where Have I Been and What Have I Been Doing? Kind of like playing Where's Waldo, I guess. We've got another great story from Charles Stell and other great things in the news, including a voicemail behind the Daleks. The voice behind the Daleks has left us, we're sorry to say. So with that, what do you say we get out of here and do On This Day in Tech History?
Let's get out of here and do the On This Day in Tech History.
Works for me. Be right back.
All right.
On this day in tech history for July 17th, 2006. This is July 17th. It's the 198th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 167 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1899 that the NEC Corporation is organized as the first Japanese joint venture with foreign capital. And after successfully crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the Lithuanian research aircraft Lituanica crashes in Europe under mysterious circumstances on this date in 1933. Also on July 17th, 1955, Disneyland televises its grand opening in Anaheim, California. And it was on this date in 1962 that the small boy test shot Little Feller 1 becomes the last atmospheric test detonation at the Nevada test site. And an American Apollo and a Soviet Soyuz spacecraft docked with each other on this date in 1975, making the first such link-up between spacecraft from the two nations. On this date in 1995, the Midwestern heat wave in the United States reaches its peak. Chicago, Illinois, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin, among other cities, set all-time high temperature records. The heat claims over 400 lives on this day alone. And in 1996, off the coast of Long Island, New York, a Paris-bound Boeing 747 carrying TW-8 Flight 800 explodes, killing all 230 persons on board. A tsunami triggered by an undersea earthquake destroys 10 villages on this date in 1998 in Papua New Guinea, killing an estimated 1,500, leaving 2,000 more unaccounted for and thousands more homeless. Also on this date in 1998, biologists report in the Journal of Science how they sequenced the genome of the bacterium that causes syphilis, Treponema pallidum. Also on this date in 2002, Apple's program iCal premieres at the Macworld Expo in New York City. July 17th is the date displayed on the icon on the program when it's not being used. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1698 to the French mathematician Pierre-Louis Maupertuis. Also born on this date in 1894, Josef Herdl, the Austrian anatomist. And American actor and musician David Hasselhoff turns 54 today. One special final note, this is Yellow Pigs Day in various mathematics department. Go look it up. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for July 17th, 2006.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
This is Victor Cajal from the Typical PC User Podcast at www.typicalpcuser.com. And you're listening to Technorama with Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp.
Nerd alert!
Chuck? Chuck who? Oh, that guy. Who needs him? Just kidding, Chuck. Hope you had a good time while you were away. Craig's done a pretty good job of holding down the fort, but it'll be good to have you back. It just wouldn't quite be Technorama without you.
Well, thank you, Steve Rickyberg. That was quite timely of him to throw that in.
Yep. Finally, you decided to come back.
I came back. I have been in Arizona in the heat, so this stuff they call heat back here in the Midwest, nothing.
Yeah.
It's butter. It's melted butter.
Or you can melt butter on the sidewalk.
It's a piece of cake. And thank you very much, Craig, for holding down the fort while I was away. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, no problem.
You've been holding down some other forts, too, from what I can tell.
Yes, and I'll get to that in just a minute. I want to hear about you. What'd you do? Where'd you go?
Before we get into that, I took the opportunity since I said, hey, I'm going out of town for a week. And You know what? Channel 4 on my mixer is out. It wasn't the mic, so because I plugged things in different places, I said, well, this is the time to get it repaired. So last Saturday, the 7th, whatever it was, 8th, I dropped it off and said, here, fix it. I'll be back in a week. And I called him from the Milwaukee airport when we landed yesterday and said, you got it done? He said, oh, I'm just getting into it. I'm a mechanic.
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to be up there in an hour and a half because he was in Oshkosh and I was driving from Milwaukee about an hour and a half away. Of course, by the time I got my luggage and everything, he said, I'll explain it to you. I got there and the solder joints had basically worked themselves loose from channel 4.
This is channel 4 and all our solder joints are loose.
But channel 9 is okay.
And all the other channels were on their way to doing the same thing. So he resoldered everything and got it all cleaned up and cool. So without missing a beat, I'm back online tonight. But if anything weird happens or there's an audio level that just has a problem, yeah, like that, That's probably me. I got to tell you, we went out to Arizona and stayed in Phoenix for a few days. And while I was there, this is a nice posh hotel because we got a deal. They wanted to wine and dine us and try and sell us something. But,
oh, yeah.
They had an iMac G4, just like mine, you know, the moon-shaped CPU, round, semi-hemispherical thing. They had a kiosk in there.
The desk lamp?
Yeah, the desk lamp. What do they call it? Moon stick square? Something like that. Moon.
Call it a desk lamp. Go ahead.
And this was in their coffee shop kiosk. And I said, ooh, great, I can check my Gmail. I didn't realize until the last day that I had Wi-Fi in the lobby, but more about that later. That's how I was chatting Wednesday night. Uh-huh. Anyway, they had IE5. They had OS 10.2. And they had Safari. And I said, I can't deal with this, especially with Gmail. So
oh my gosh,
yeah. I went and downloaded Firefox 1504 for them, and I couldn't put it in the applications folder, so I left it right in the guest home directory and put it in the dock and said, there.
You unless now- they remove all the other ones from the dock and put that one there.
Smart people, you now have a choice.
Yeah. As long as it's Firefox, you have a choice.
Speaking of connectivity, I also found out there is Wi-Fi in the Grand Canyon. Actually, there's a little town just south of the Grand Canyon. We went to the South Rim, and there's a town called Tusayan, I think that's how you say it. It's T-U-S-A-Y-A-N. Tusayan? Maybe somebody can help me with that.
Tuscan?
We stayed at the Best Western one night, and I wanted to keep up on my podcast. Had to do that. So Friday, I went in there, and a coffee shop run by a couple of Spanish-speaking people, speaking rudely to each other, I might add. It wasn't.
How can I help you?
Well, I'm glad he treats his employees with respect.
That's right.
Went in there and noticed that they had web-enabled, but their key was 0123456789. I'm sorry, 1234567890.
So, would you take a guess?
No. He told me. I went, that's a combination of my luggage.
Yeah. Gee, I'll be right back, sir. You enjoy the Wi-Fi.
So I got all caught up on that and had some fun listening to stuff on the way home, at least. It wasn't a complete boring ride home. About a three-hour trip from Phoenix to Milwaukee. And to top it off, today, got back to church and noticed they were having some audio problems and went up and I got to play with their mixer. In fact, I ran the soundboard at today's service. It's a Mackie. It's the big brother of what I've got. And went, this isn't too hard. Then after about 10 minutes, Lisa comes up and joins me. I say, hey, psst, you want to help? She lights up. I say, okay, when Pastor Dave stands up, unmute channel 15. Because, I mean, they were labeled nicely. It said wireless one and, you know, pulpit and altar.
I hope she didn't turn it up a little too much. And he's like, that stupid idiot, I wish he'd be quiet.
We did mute them because we weren't sure if, you know, they had the wireless and weren't sure if they were turning it off. I could see, you know, the helper. So that was my fun. It was a great time. Grand Canyon is a beautiful place. There are Flickr pictures available from Arizona, from Phoenix. Went golfing with Michael R. Meningay, who Monday we put together that new intro for Technorama. And thank you very much. Draco Vista Studios, great place to visit.
Tell them who Michael is for those people that don't know.
Michael R. Meningay is the man behind about 17 podcasts over at Farpoint Media, including Dragon Page Winging It, Cover to Cover, Slice of Sci-Fi, and tons and tons of others. I can't even remember. They just go on and on. He's been a guest on our show. And if timing was right, we would have done the show from his studio on Wednesday night, but things didn't quite work out right. And Craig did a fine job of soloing it. So, pictures on Flickr if you want to check those out. Small sampling of the 800-plus pictures that I've taken.
See, now finally I find out that people are taking pictures like me. I thought I took a lot of pictures. I come up with, you know, 500-600 pictures, and you and Victor together had like 1,200.
My kids in 2 days took 200. They had the little Nikon. I had the D50. It got a workout.
Yeah, wow.
What it's have amazing, you been up to? You've been busy, boy.
Yeah, man, especially this last week, I've been a podcasting mofo big time. You know, I did Technorama Sunday night and Wednesday night, and then I did my own show, Valid Syntax, which I was long overdue, had to do that. And then I did the typical PC user last night, Friday night, and so that's out there. So if you want to hear me, go over there and to... our Technorama listeners won't be too surprised to find out it's a kind of a short PC user podcast, but that's okay. It's packed with a lot of stuff. Anyway, so I was on Victor's show while he was actually back from his vacation, but he was, you know, winding down, so he had some stuff to do. So I went ahead and finished it, did the show for him. And then last night, which should come out Wednesday, I had sort of an interview with Douglas E. Welch on the High Tech Career Handbook, and that should be out Wednesday. And if all goes well, I'll put a link in the show notes for Wednesday's show to point everybody to that. And we talked about being an in-house developer. That's what that was.
Oh, you were on his show.
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure if he interviewed you or you interviewed him.
No, I was on his show. So, yeah,
well, that'd be cool. I look forward to listening to that.
Yeah, you want to talk about being a developer, in-house developer, and tools and tips and that kind of thing. So,
were you suave and sophisticated, or did it come out as bah 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 bah?
Damn straight, homie.
All right, we've got some listener feedback, and let's get into it.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Chuck, you got another phone call.
Who is it?
Bruce Barr.
OnStar?
Bruce Barr.
Juice Barr?
Bruce Barr.
I don't know what you're trying to tell me. Help him leave a message.
Hey guys, it's Bruce, and I am in Kansas City, although I have been out of town last week, kind of like you, only it was only partially vacation. Part of it was to go down to the University of Missouri and help my daughter get ready to matriculate, and she's good to go off there in another month or so and be a freshman down there. I'm getting ready to be an empty nester. But a lot of technology at the University of Missouri. There's computers in the lobbies. There's Wi-Fi all the way across the campus. And, of course, Ethernet into even the older dorms, like my daughter will be staying in. Quite a bit of technology in that campus across all the different schools, as you might imagine. It's not just when you're going to engineering school or in science where you're going to get impacted by computers nowadays. Everybody's using them. It was real interesting to look at the suggested computer platform for the different students there, depending upon what school they were going to. Certain schools require you to have the Macintosh platform, the very famous journalism school, and a lot of people that you know of in the media today went to the journalism school at University of Missouri, it's a very famous journalism school. And it requires that all the students in the journalism school have a Macintosh computing platform. Some of the other schools, it varies from school to school. There's no requirement, although they did list who the professors within the various disciplines and what kind of computers the professors own, and thusly what kind of computer they suggested that the students should buy. Related to student discounts also, I don't know if you guys noticed this because you've been, spotty in your coverage here, but there's a new student discount available for the iMac, the dual, Intel dual core duo, whatever it is that Apple refers to it, student iMac. It's the lower end model, so I forget what it is you give up there. I think it may not be a super drive, and it's a lower amount of memory or something like that. But the basic model is less than $900. Awfully nice-looking machine. From Kansas City, this is Mr. Gadget, signing off.
Well, thank you, Bruce. Lots of good information about the University of Missouri and all the cool stuff there.
Hey, I've got an idea. You say it's going to be an empty nester.
Yeah.
How about this? It might be just crazy. It could work. Why don't you pose as a student and just kind of hang out and visit all the keg parties and show up at a couple of classes and kind of blend in.
And get the student discount.
Yeah.
Wait, you've seen Bruce. Do you think he could blend in?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. From the description, it sounds more like he could blend in with the professors.
Well, yeah. He might have a good time with them. I don't know.
I think I'd get bored hanging out with the students after a while.
No, I just keep thinking of, like, you know, a movie like Back to School or something like that. Hey, I'm going to go back.
And our coverage has been spotty.
What?
He said our coverage has been spotty.
All right, has it?
We've got one more voicemail from Steve Rickyberg.
It was cool that on the last show you mentioned Zelda for the TI-83 Plus graphing calculator, but while the screenshots speak for themselves, I don't think the dig description really did it justice. It's incredible when you realize that the TI-83 Plus has only an 8-bit Z80 CPU clocked at a whopping 6 MHz and a 96 by 64 pixel monochrome screen. It's not exactly easy to develop for it either. The built-in TI Basic language is easy enough to learn, but it doesn't cut it for most games, and there isn't a compiler for a higher level language such as C. So, games such as this Zelda clone are programmed in pure Z80 assembly. That's right, pure assembly. Despite these limitations, a lively community, of which I've been a part of, has grown up around programming graphing calculators, including the TI-83 Plus, to do things never intended by Texas Instruments, namely, playing games. There are calculator versions of Tetris, pinball, and much more, ranging from simple puzzle games to shoot 'em ups to role-playing games. Granted, it won't replace your Game Boy, but after all, it's a calculator.
That's true. He said, you know, why would anybody do that? It's because you can, of course.
Yeah, well, you know, if you have to explain why they're doing it, you don't get it.
If you don't get it, you don't get it.
No, but I think that's really cool, you know, that to make something do, especially like a calculator. Because when I first read that, the description and everything, I was like, what, on a calculator? I said, come on. And I went and looked. I was kind of blown away by the screenshots. So that's cool.
If I had one, you know I'd be doing that.
Oh, yeah. No, you just keep it in the box on the shelf.
No. If somebody said there's a version of Zelda for my calculator, I'd go play it.
Okay, all right.
Not many people know what it's like in the trenches. Just the few, the brave, the system administrators, and IT professionals. Now, there's a podcast just for you and the battles you face every day.
Come on, boys, keep that network up.
Sarge, we need better technology now.
Incoming user complaints.
Strength the net security on the double.
We're crashing. Game over, man.
Listen to In the Trenches with Kevin Devon and George Starcher at kevindevon.com. War is hell. Learn the best ways to survive.
You ordered the low-fat triple mocha latte.
In the Trenches.
Technorama, the show with a toy prize inside. They're all highly egg-shaped. With me, way out on the corner of Geek Street and Nerd Boulevard, is my co-host, Craig Stapp.
Hey, Chuck, I'm open. Over here.
Go long. Go really, really long. We want to thank Mark Shepard for his donation to the tip jar.
I thought he was a dog.
Magnets and electronics don't go together. How right you are.
I did a service call, and this woman said her floppy disk wasn't working.
That's enough of these podcasts.
And now, the news, with both of us again.
Finally. To you, Chuck.
No, it's your story.
Oh, duh. I think it was over, NewsForge, they had an article talking about Linus Torvalds' reaction to being on CNN's top list of who doesn't matter anymore. it's kind of humorous. And, you know, to be honest with you, this is the kind of reaction I expected out of Linus Torvalds talking about
say?
That. So. Well, here you go. What's your reaction to allegedly have fallen from grace? And Torvalds' reaction was, I will hunt them down and personally kill every single Fortune reporter. I will teach them. Well, he's in good company because Steve Ballmer was on that list too.
Oh, no, Steve Ballmer doesn't matter anymore?
I guess not. Anyway, you have to go read. Actually, it was a repost from Fortune on CNN's website, I should say. So,
but, we skipped over the shout out to the chat room. We've got Beaker One, Bumble Root, Digital Dan from the Hook Show, if I remember right. Juror, Mark Shepard, Missing Intellect, Stingray, Tim Elliott, Mad Marv has just joined us. Hey, Marv. Douglas E. Welch and Zaha Doom. We also have one birthday this week in, well, this episode, since we do two a week. You can't really say this week. Lord Dumicus. I'm not sure if it's Dumicus or Dumicus, but he's, happy birthday to Lord Dumicus on the 18th. If we've mispronounced it, sorry. That's
yeah, we only wish you well.
We only... Nice.
Now, Technorama with Chuck and Greg. I just laugh my head off at these guys. I'll always download their show. When I first listened, I thought, who needs to listen to this? But then I caught the bug. Now I'm a convert and really do appreciate the time and quality that these two guys put into their podcast. It makes traveling time so much more enjoyable, and I learn from it. It's got to be good.
Podcast User Magazine, the premier magazine for podcasters, podcast listeners, musicians, and even business people. Inside each fully packed monthly issue, you'll find hardware, software, and book reviews, ideas on building an audience, generating revenue, podcast reviews, and answers to questions from the experts who have been at podcasting from the beginning. Find out more at podcastusermagazine.com.
Hacks and Strange Stories!
Don't hurt yourself.
Me? That's Lenny. Yeah. He just comes in for that.
I mean, Lenny.
That's all we need Lenny for. Maybe we'll have to interview that guy one of these days. That could be entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
We got this one from Yorga. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's called the Google Mentalplex. It's a website. We'll have a link in the show notes. You go to it, and apparently you're supposed to think about what you want to search for, or just click here.
It's not working.
I sat there and I waited like 30 seconds thinking eventually it would have a page timeout and go somewhere. Didn't really work cool. That way. That, well, or that would be funny.
Just a random page off. Well, that could be dangerous.
Second link is the Lego church. Mark has links to his Flickr account. This is a guy who made a church with people, an altar, and you know, the whole thing.
It's awesome.
Pretty amazing. Somebody had too much time again.
Trying to remember if we talked about this before, because I've seen these a while back, but it didn't matter. It's still impressive.
It's another one of those themes. We have a running theme about people who have too much time on their hands that make Technorama things. Yeah. Make the lawnmower, make a house. I've made my entire fortune.
Look, I made my dog. It's in Legos.
The third link we have is it's called One Red Paperclip. It's at oneredpaperclip.blogspot.com. Apparently, mm-hmm. This person on July 12, 2005, about 1 year ago, started out with one red paperclip and started trading and negotiating it for things. And the paperclip turned into...
So he was ultimately looking for a house. He wanted to turn a red paperclip into a house. But here's the funny thing. Check this out. That I thought was really interesting, and I didn't know until just the other day when I was reading a follow-up on the whole story, was that he got to a house with rent free for a year. And then he traded it, and then he looked like he was trading backwards. And he got this snow globe. And I was like, a KISS snow globe, no less. And I was like, what did he trade for that for? But what happened was... Corbin Burnson, the actor, had offered him a movie role, a paid movie role, as a trade. But the problem was, what can you do with that? You know, it's hard to trade that for something else. So what he did was, to get that, rather, he had to trade him something. And he went on the internet and found out that Corbin Burnson is like one of the world's, has the world's largest snow globe collection. So he traded for the KISS thing, and then got the trade for the movie role, and then he took that movie role and traded it to a town, and the town gave him the house, and they're doing a American Idol type thing to give away the movie role.
Do you believe this, or do you think it's an urban legend?
No, it's real.
Do you think so?
I know it is, yeah.
I'm skeptical.
I've been following the guy's Flickr. I subscribed to his Flickr account as a contact a long time ago, and he's got a blog. Yeah, he'd been blogging about it for a year. No, it's real.
He must be one good negotiator. That's all I got to say.
Well, I mean, look, here's the things they start off with. With paper clip to a little fish pin, then to a custom drawer knob. Then he went to a, let's see, what was that?
It's like some kind of toolkit or something.
Yeah, like a toolkit. Then he went to a generator, to a keg with a beer sign, and a
snowmobile.
Snowmobile, and then one trip to Yak. Anyway, you can see from there. But I just thought that end twist was cool because people were like, what did you trade for the snow globe? Or I was like, it was at like some special collector's version or something. And he ended up trading it for the movie role, which I thought was cool.
All right. Quick remember when segment.
Okay.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
I have a link over to the Vintage Macintosh, and this guy's got a lot of store. He actually purchases old equipment, and he has a lot of breakdowns about them, and you know, information about the different units he's had over time. And he's even the same guy that bought the Mac off eBay that was Douglas Adams at one point.
Really? Had
the files on it, yeah. And then you can see it's in there somewhere. He talks about Douglas Adams' Mac, and then he found the files and how he almost deleted them. But anyway, you can go look, and he has pictures and stuff of all these old floppy drives and, you know, all kinds of cool stuff from the Mac. Old school Mac.
Okay. I'm sorry, I was queuing up the next segment. Hey,
they call that a pregnant pause.
We'll blame that on the mixer.
Okay.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Craig's got a bit of bad news in the media corner tonight.
Yes, Peter Hawkins, he's the voice of the Daleks. I'm not sure if it was the current version or the older version of Doctor Who, but he passes away. He was 82.
Was there a difference? I mean, was it the same guy?
I don't know if it was the same guy doing the voice for the current ones and the current episodes. However, I do know he was the actor. He voiced several characters on Doctor Who in the show's early years. And he says most notably the Daleks and the Cybermen.
You are the Doctor! You must be exterminated! Exterminate! Exterminate!
Wish I had some reverb right there.
Yeah, well, where's your mixer at? Never mind. Anyway, I got some more stuff for the media corner as well. I don't know if anybody else is a fan of Arrested Development, but I used to love that show, and I really got into it when they cut it short. Thanks, Fox! So they were talking about moving it to Showtime. You know, it's not really sci-fi or anything, but I'm a movie geek too. So they were talking about making this into a movie. So if you're a fan, I'd be curious to see hear your reaction. I thought that'd be pretty cool. But I thought the series was a lot of fun. Also, here's some fun behind the scenes with Family Guy, and that links over to a YouTube video of the voice actors doing their thing in the studio. You know, standing up in front of the mics, acting out their, you know, doing their voices, which was kind of cool to see. And you can see Seth MacFarlane and everybody else doing their thing in there.
Oh, that's
cool. Also, yeah, it's very cool. And also, Ellen Feist stars in a movie.
Oh, Ellen Feist from the old Switcher campaign.
Yeah, and there's a big picture of her all looking all cute and sad or something. Yeah, it's one of those Lifetime movies or something.
She's got to be like in her 20s now.
Like 52.
It's TV age.
Yeah. So, also, Joel McLaughlin, excuse me, I got to drink more beer. He emailed me back when I mentioned about the shuttle video. I was talking about the view down from the top of the shuttle on the top of the SRB. You know, down the wing.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back and he was like, I don't think you're talking about the right video because the camera view he saw was looking up. I was like, well, there's actually two videos. And Slashdot was talking about one that was looking up, but the one I saw that was impressed with was the one looking, the camera view looking down. you know, and you watch the whole thing splash down on the whole works. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that I was talking about the video where it's looking down, and it's on their site, so you have to go look for it.
How cool is that?
It's very cool. Man, the splashdown was... I never seen anything like that. You know, you always knew they fall in the ocean. Okay, well, you know, cool. Some boat goes, picks them up. But, I mean, they come down and you see a big splash. It's awesome. It's awesome to see.
Well, thanks to the magic of podcasting, I'm going to insert another clip from Charles Stell. His stories are just tremendous. We had the squirrel that got into the radio station last time. If you missed that, go back a couple of shows. This one has more to do with a mail sorting machine with a rather humorous... Well, I'll let you listen.
He also told me about the mail sorting machine you'd worked on at one point that went awry some sample data.
Well, I wasn't working on that. I was working... That was the mail sorter project for Recognition Equipment, which is right across from Texas Stadium in Irving, Texas. And I was working on the TRACE project in the other half of the big test and assurance floor. This is a huge room that they divided in half for one side for the mail sorter and the other side for TRACE. TRACE was a banking machine. It would, read and sort and photograph and read the magnetic ink characters and spray on four lines of barcode, all while the stuff was going by at 22.4 miles an hour. So it was large, it was noisy, and it was impressive. And one day while working on one of the TRACE machines, the door in the little divider wall flew open. All these guys came running out screaming and yelling, and thought, holy cow, what happened over there, you know? Didn't see any smoke and flames or anything, just a lot of hollering and yelling going on. And, of course, I couldn't just stop a run. So when it was over, we went and found the guys from the mail project and said, hey, what happened? And this was a machine they were building for the Cincinnati Post Office. And in order to provide a systems acceptance test, they needed to run live mail. Mm-hmm. In order to make the post office happy to see that it really worked. So they went down to the dead letter office at the big Dallas mail facility and got a couple of pallets of six-year-old mail that wasn't ever going anywhere and nobody had claimed, and brought it back. And unfortunately, in the middle of their run, they ran into a whole bunch of regular, you know, number 10 envelopes that had little squeezy foil packets of pink hand cream in it. And so the 2-inch wide belts squeezed the stuff out and then slung it everywhere. There were people standing around out in the hallway with about an 8-inch wide pink stripe across their shirt.
All I can
smell it, and smelling like roses.
Is that lavender? All I can picture is the ketchup packets underneath the rear tire of a, you know, when you take those ketchup packets, put it under somebody's car tire, and they back up, and it just...
Yeah, well, now figure 2,400 of them a minute. Well, one of the things that the machine did was it was designed so that when it detected a jam, of course, it shut down. But it automatically released the cover, and with a little air cylinder, the cover would lift up. Well, of course, it just traveled right down the machine, so as the guys were all standing there checking on it, including the postal inspectors, you know, before the whole machine could wind down, the lid started lifting up, so it just, the belts were still zooming along, and they just left a nice stripe of slime on everybody's stomach. Now, it took them a couple of days to clean all the slime out of that machine. They were happy.
Oh, the machine, the room, everything.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, I think I almost beat them on messing up a room.
Hey, thanks, Charles. That was a wonderful story. I like that. If anyone else has any great stories about technology gone wrong, please get in contact with me. I have a bigger idea that's rolling around in the back of my head that was talked to T. Morris about it, and hey, I can.
You know what? We should make it a, call it a segment called "Tech Gone Wild."
I'm game for that. you know, a 3-4 minute story like that. Perfect. You know, everybody's got a story about something like the listener who called in and said his laptop caught on fire. You know, that would be a great one. The hand lotion thing going through the mail sorting machine, that was classic. You can just picture that happening.
Yeah.
And the way that Charles, you know, comes across with that calm demeanor about the whole thing was just priceless.
Yeah, no kidding.
I've got one more for another time, but if you've got a story like that, please let me know. We have a couple things in the Geek Library. The first one is from Leo Schrauen. Oh, how come I can always say that when I'm not on the air? Leo Schrauen.
I don't know. Jorga's dad.
Jorga's dad. He sent me a link to this place is called CMOs.org. I'm going to let you look at it. It's to check your page strength against the Google stats and how many links, how many people link to you, how many links you have on there. And he compared his site to mine, and he beat me out by like 0.5. It takes about 30 seconds to generate all the data or extract all the data from somewhere else.
I'm going to do my website.
All right, you do your website. See how we compare. But chuckchat.com came up short of, blackspot.de. While you're looking, I'm going to roll the Geek Thoughts.
Geek Thoughts.
Programming is like sex. Neither is a good subject for dinner conversation.
I have another one about programming or documentation and sex, but I'll save that for another time.
Okay.
Just to taunt the listener for that one. Some of you may have heard it. Other things we've got in the Geek Library, we've got another slug of things from Marv. We've got a link to the mechanical elephant, the insane college dorm room prank, and his footnote there is, finally, someone that lives up to my standards. We've got...
Hey, wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute. You know, a good college prank, you probably got a couple in your pocket that you've seen or done, haven't you?
A college prank?
Yeah.
I'd have to think about that one. College seems so long ago. I tried to block most of it from my mind.
Well, you know, I always think, whenever I think of that, I keep thinking of putting the cellophane across the toilet and put the seat down.
I never did that one.
And
I've heard of
it. And one of my friends swears that he did this. He took the shower head off and put Kool-Aid in it, so when the guy gets in, it makes him red.
Oh, that's nice. I have a college prank, but I got a wedding prank that I'll save that one for another time, too.
Okay.
He's got a link to 17 ways to tie your shoelaces. Wow, that's pretty amazing. I will note that I tie my shoelaces different than most people.
And you know what? I did learn how to do that. It's easy. A little slip knot. It works.
There's a Star Trek maze, Spider-Man 3 poster, and the one that I want to see. There's one here. It's a dude blows perfect bubble rings underwater. I can blow bubble rings underwater, but I don't know about perfect.
You can?
Yeah.
I haven't tried, but when I watched that, I was impressed. It looked like, you know, some people... blow smoke rings, and then they'll blow a smaller one and make it go right through the middle.
Whole different technique.
He did all that. I was like, holy cow. No, I'm just saying, you know how so many people will blow a bigger one and make a small one and go that travels faster and goes through it?
Yeah.
That's what this guy was doing, too.
Underwater. I like the way Gandalf did the whole ship thing.
Yeah.
The final link that Marv had given us is the Slave Leia belly dancing.
Oh, I would click on it, but I bet it's going to start playing something.
Yeah, I can just imagine.
Nee, 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 nee.
Lovely. All right, we are done. Unless you had one other thing. Were you comparing your page strength yet?
Oh, yeah, let's take a look at that. Page strength, it says, let's see, factors. It says page strength. I got 4 out of 10.
Leoville.com had... like 6.5, if I remember right.
6.5 out of 10?
ChuckChat.com was only like a 3.0.
Hey, what's funny is you can paste this little stuff in there and it'll put a little badge on your website that says page strength four, you know, or I guess it'll change it as time goes on.
Who cares?
So, you know, as long as they find my side, I don't really care.
Exactly.
Well, when I saw that, I kept thinking page strength. Is it, you know, going to check and see how durable it is? Or I was like, oh, it's page rank. That ranks. That reeks.
All right. Hey, everybody. Don't forget, I haven't seen any pictures of you, the listener, lately. I want to see some pictures. The expo is coming up in a couple of months. If you don't send me something, I'm going to start pulling random things off of Flickr, and it may not be pleasant because I'll put listener names on it. This creature.
Mark Shepard is like a
no, cow's Mark, butt. Mark, sent, Mark was one of the first ones to send us a picture. It's okay. We're not putting cows' butts on
there. Boy, if I had a cow that looked like that, I'd shave its butt and teach it to walk backwards.
Any I'm requests kidding. For the outgoing credits?
Yes, I want you know, Chuck, I want you to read it as Paul Harvey, the radio guy.
Let me see if I can do that.
Yeah, work it up, work it up.
Hello, fellow Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Here's a way you can contact us. There's the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. Page 2. You can also get us at the website at chuckchat.com. Holy cow, that could take a week to do that.
Just go ahead and read it right.
He's probably only got two pages of notes, and he makes a 30-minute show out of the thing. Yeah, just by
he's got a paragraph.
The pause.
That's
like,
pretty funny.
If you edited his audio, it'd be like 3 minutes. It's like watching an NFL game. You know what? There's only 15 minutes of play in the whole thing.
I know we're running long on time, but I got a Paul Harvey story that I thought was funny. I listened to him one time, and he said this. He was talking about this guy. Where his father passed away, and he, of course, is dragging this out. And the guy's in his father's attic cleaning out, you know, going through stuff. And he goes to this desk, and he finds a ticket for his shoes. It was like at a shoe fix place, a cobbler. Mm-hmm. And so the son puts the ticket in his pocket and goes down there to see if he still has the shoes, you know, by chance. And then gives it the ticket to the guy, and he says, hold on. And it's like a 30-year-old ticket, you know. So he goes in the back and comes back and says, yeah, the shoes are here. He says, wow, can I get them? He says, yeah, come back Thursday. And we're done yet after 30 years. Hello. And have a good day.
Good day. Paul Harvey, good day.
All right, we can finish up this notes here.
All right. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. Audio streaming provided by Scott Reynolds. Chat room, as always, freenode.net. And if you're not subscribed to this show, that means you can get it automatically for free by using a podcatching client like iTunes. But if you want other options, drop us an email and we'll tell you how you can get them. We wish you the best. We thank you for listening. Tell a friend about Technorama. Tell two. Spread the good word. In fact, everyone you meet, ask them if they know what podcasting is, and if they're a geek, steer them this way. It's kind of a fun little side hobby to do. You just walk up and go, you know, the guy bagging groceries at the grocery store.
Heard about podcast? Slap him on the back and hey,
leave. You can skip to people who are in a coma. Till next time, binary high five.
101, by your command.